Praise God. Good morning. I'm going to open this now. Man, how many are glad to be in God's house? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Man, I'm so thrilled to be with you this morning. I love God's people. I love God, and I love God's people so much. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. As Brother Larry was saying, we're here from Mississippi. About 2 years ago, I was in my yard, and I was just working away, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Get ready to sell your house." That I never thought I would sell. We thought we were there for life. And so we were like Noah building an ark or something, if you will, and didn't know where we were going, but we knew we were going somewhere, but we were going to be obedient, amen? And we had an opportunity to love God's people in Poplarville. And I'm so grateful for God's call, amen? I'm so grateful for the opportunity to serve Him. He's so good to us. So as Brother Larry said, my wife Abby is with me. You want to give a wave? Isn't she lovely? I'm just kidding. This morning she is God's grace. I always say she is God's grace, tangible grace to me on this earth. Amen. How many men in the house can get a witness? Amen. But we got a picture. I want to share my family with you a little bit. That's us. We have 6 kids, we have from left to right, we have Harley, the oldest, and Chloe. Down there's Brinley, then Luke, our only boy, and then Landry, and then Paisley on the right there. And they are back in, actually in Amite, Louisiana with my mother-in-law. She's keeping them. And just wanted to show you where we come from. That's us. Thank you. Well, we're going to jump into the Word. Y'all ready to do that? You know, I came this morning. If you're taking notes, I'm going to be talking about the title is He is for Me. How many believe God's for you? Amen? He's for you. He's not against you. Amen? How many like that song? He's for you. Have you ever felt like everything and everyone was against you? Anybody? Family, friends, like nothing's going right? Anybody ever have a bad day, a bad week, a bad year? Anybody? How many know in those times you need to know that God's for you? Amen? You need to know that God is for you. It's important to know that God is for us. He's not against us, especially again on those days. We see through Scripture that God is always for His people. Amen? He's always for His people. He's constantly delivering His people. He's constantly protecting them. You see, you read through Psalms. How many like to read through Psalms? And we see that God continually restores His people, even though they drift off and they drift away. But they come back to Him, and he's faithful to them. Amen? And He's for them. And we see that through Scripture. The Bible says that we're the sheep of His pasture, that He cares for us. How many know God cares for you this morning? Amen? I'm telling you, you don't get any, you know, down south we talk about Southern hospitality, and we do it pretty good. If you ever come down, we'll take care of you, okay? But there ain't nothing like the Father's care. Amen? Nothing like the Father's care. You know, I believe with all my heart that we can't really do anything or be anything for God. We can't conquer anything, overcome anything, or change anything for Him until we first know that He loves us and that He's for us. Amen? Y'all believe that this morning? Why is it important to know that God is for us? Thanks for asking this morning. I'm going to tell you. You know, anything we say or do in our lives is usually a response. It's a reaction. Our love for God and our response and what we do for Him is simply a byproduct of what God's done in us. Amen. The Bible says that he loved us first so that we could love him. Amen. Amen. So it's important for us to know how much he loves us. It's important to know what he's done for us. It's important to know that he's for us so that we could be for him and fulfill his purpose. Does that make sense this morning? Amen. Everything that I do, every good thing that I do, when I worship, amen. When I preach, when I share the love of Jesus, when I embrace my babies, when I embrace my wife, it's because he loved me first. Amen? Come on, somebody. That's good stuff. We must know that he affirms us. Hebrews 11:6, and I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for each person here. God, I thank you that before the foundations of the earth, you knew that each person sitting in the seat today would be sitting where they're at. So God, help us to have ears as such that we would listen like you know what's going on and you have a plan and a purpose for us this morning in this place. God, ignite something inside of us this morning that we would know who you are, that we would know that you're for us. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence in Jesus' name. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Man, I feel God's presence in this place. Come on, somebody say he's for me. Look at your neighbor, say he's for you. He's for you. You know, just as a child longs for a father's affirmation, so our hearts yearn for affirmation and approval from Father God. Amen. You see so many people searching, looking for approval, looking for someone to pat them on the back. The Father does that for us. Amen. The creator of the world, the creator of everything is for me. My Father, the King of Kings. He calls us righteous. He calls us a holy nation, a royal priesthood, set apart, blameless, more than conquerors. Man, the Bible says a lot about us. He calls us his children. He calls us his friends. You know, I love to say, and you may have heard it before, but you know, there's nothing I can do to make God love me any more than he loves me already. Man, is that comforting or what? But do you know, on the same side of that coin, flipping it over, there's nothing that I can do wrong that will make him love me any less. Man, that empowers me, that pushes me to know that truth. We don't have to work for his affirmation. We find that in Jesus. Do you know that the Father affirmed Jesus and said he was well pleased with him before Jesus ever did a single miracle or anything that we would recognize as a great work? Do you know, in our mentality, in our fallen nature, there's this thing inside of us saying that we have to earn it, that we have to gain it, that we have to be good enough, that we have to pay, that so many, you know, in the South, there's a big stronghold of religion, and most people that you share faith with and you share the love of Jesus and the free gift of salvation. And we know that there's a response to that and there's sacrifice that comes after that. Amen. But there's this idea that as long as my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, I'm going to be all right. But we don't have to work for that. It's finished and it's done. Amen. In Jesus. So the Father recognized Jesus. Jesus's ministry flowed out of his desire to please the Father and his already confirmed confidence and affirmation of who he was and not what he did. Are y'all with me this morning? You know, I believe that the Father did this intentionally. His love for his son and his affirmation for him being that he, before he healed the sick, before he raised the dead, before he paid the incredible price that he came to pay, amen, that the Father was for him. God is for us, amen. We're his children. We've been adopted, brought in, and covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. We've been adopted. We come in, and the reason that we can be affirmed and the reason that we can be approved by God is because we've accepted Jesus. Amen. We've accepted this free gift in Jesus Christ. So we're covered and we're washed and we're affirmed and we're confirmed, and he's for us. Man, does this make you excited or what? I love Jesus so much. So before you do anything for God, you're already valuable to God. Because God's favor and goodness has nothing to do with what you do. It has everything to do with what Jesus did. Amen? It has everything to do with what Jesus did for me. I don't have to strive. I don't have to. Now my response, because of his love, is I want to live for him, and I want to love him, and I want to look like him. Amen? Come on, somebody. And like Paul said, this doesn't mean we go on sinning because of this great grace. Rather, it compels us. Charles Spurgeon said, we are not saved by obedience, for obedience is the result of salvation. We are saved by faith because faith leads us to obey. Vadi Beckham said, salvation does not require obedience. It produces obedience. Amen? If obedience was required for salvation, we would be able to achieve salvation and righteousness on our own, separate of Jesus' sacrifice, and Jesus would have died for nothing. We need Jesus, amen, and we're covered and we're washed. Does that make sense this morning? Praise God. So I want to take a moment and turn to some texts. Turn to the text that we just talked about, discussed, Matthew 3, 16 through 17, if you want to turn with me or you're taking notes this morning. And just to give you the picture of that, it says, as the Father was affirming Jesus, it says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Do you know that you bring the Father great joy? Amen. You bring the Father great joy. And our Father understands we need his approval. We need that affirmation. So I have some stories this morning, some texts this morning that we're going to work through. And it's going to kind of be a test a little bit to really help you ask some questions to see. And there's a lot of questions you can ask. And I've just picked a few this morning in text that were dear to my heart and that I feel God laid on my heart. But that you can ask to really figure out if you believe that God is for you. Amen? We're going to do that this morning. The first question this morning is, can I pray and worship after I make a mistake? Somebody say, Can I pray and worship after I make a mistake? You know, there's a story of David. Y'all know David. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Amen. An incredible worshiper. An incredible, and wrote a large majority of Psalms, right? But David wasn't always perfect. And David didn't always make the best decisions. David, just to give you a little bit of a backdrop on this particular story. David, the Bible says, at a time when kings were supposed to be at war, David decided to stay home. Let me tell you what, when you decide to step out of God's purpose, you can get in trouble real fast. If you're not where you're supposed to be, if you're not walking in His purpose instead of your own, if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit and walking in that, we can get in trouble real fast. You know, a lot of times we can slap ourselves around, try to figure out why and what's going on in our lives. But if we really take a step back and we look, we could probably figure it out really fast and see where we stepped off course. Amen. But David was at home, and there's a lot of back to this story. You can go read it in 2 Samuel. But David wasn't at war and went on his, the Bible tells us, he went on his roof. And it's interesting, there is a lot of history to this, and there is actually a time when women would go bathe on the top of the roof. Doing a little bit of study and research into it. So he might have known that this was about to happen potentially. But David sees Bathsheba. We know the story, right? He sees Bathsheba bathing and then calls for his guards and servants to come and bring her to him. He sins, right? And the Bible tells us that her husband Uriah was away fighting the war that he should have been fighting. And story goes, Bathsheba is with child after this event while her husband's fighting a war. So David, trying to cover his tracks, do you know sin always leads to more sin when you don't deal with it? A lie always leads to another lie. And David's here, and he calls for Uriah to come back and brings him back. And his plan was to make sure that he would go sleep with his wife so that he could cover his tracks. But Uriah, being so faithful to the king, wouldn't leave the gates of the kingdom. And he stayed faithful there. So David decided to go to the next level and sent Uriah and told the captain of the army that to put Uriah on the front line. And as the army approaches, that the rest of the army would back off and Uriah would be slain. Sin always leads to more sin. But can you worship? Can you worship? Can you pray? And can you worship after you make a mistake? 2 Samuel 12:20 says, then David got up from the ground and washed himself, put on lotions and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. Can you worship? Can you pray after you make a mistake? I've said it before. You might be dealing with self-righteousness and not really understand the heart of the Father. If you come into this place and because you got in a little bit of a fight with the wife last night and you can't lift your hands in this holy place, but guess what? We don't lift our hands because our hands are holy. We lift our hands because His hands are holy. We lift our hands because He's washed us and He's cleansed us. Amen. So I could come in here not in self-righteousness and by all means not as a hypocrite. We gotta guard. We gotta process our heart properly. Amen. This shouldn't be an ongoing thing but you know, when we mess up, we should have the confidence to know that we're covered. Amen? That we're free, we're redeemed. Amen? Number two, can I praise God in the storm? Can you praise God in the storm? Some of us in here this morning, you might be in a storm right now. And I want to encourage you, every storm passes. Amen? Every storm passes. It's gonna move on through. Who knows the story of Job? We know the story of Job, man. You know, the devil went to God and said, hey, let me test this guy. And all these things happen to Job. Terrible, terrible things. And I'm going to kind of pick off, just for time's sake this morning, I'm going to pick up in Job 1, 19 and read through 22 this morning. It says, suddenly a powerful, and this is at the end of it, at some of it, as other things are happening, but suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides. The house collapsed, and all of your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped. So this is someone coming to tell Job that his family was just all killed. Job stood up and tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground. To what? To worship. Amen? He fell to the ground to worship. He said, I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin by blaming God. You know that it's in the storm that we run to the shelter and we figure out we need his covering, amen? Does God create the storm? Of course not. Of course not. You know, Satan wants to accuse God to you. When you're going through a storm and you're going through a rough patch, our enemy, the devil, wants nothing more than to accuse God to you and get you to blame God. And he wants to paint this picture that God's not for you. It's a lie. Amen? It's important to know that God is for us. Job knew that God was for him. Amen? Again, God does not cause bad things to happen, but he will use everything. You know, the Lord doesn't waste anything. He's so faithful. He won't waste anything. If you're going through a storm, again, hold on. Trust God. Put your faith in him. It's going to pass. Amen? It's going to pass. So number three this morning. Do I run to God or from God when I fail? Do I run to God or do I run from God when I fail? You see, we have a story, a perfect story of this is Adam and Eve in the garden, right? The Bible says they walked, man, in the cool of the day with God. Man, how amazing is that, right? One day we get to do that, right? I mean, we walk with his presence now on earth, but one day we will know him as we're fully known, amen? But Adam and Eve never sinned, didn't have any idea of what sin felt like or what shame felt like or what guilt felt like. But when they messed up, the Bible says that God came looking for them and called out for them, and the Bible says that they hid. Do you know that it's in our nature to hide in your relationships? When you mess up and you feel like you let someone down, you know why relationships end? Because there's something inside of us that says, I gotta hide myself. I gotta hide this. I gotta suppress it, and I gotta compartmentalize it. But we don't have to do that, because he's for us. Amen. He's for us. God, we thank you that you're for us this morning. I think it's always funny. I think about my kids, and I think about how my little boy, when he messes up, before he really knew what he was doing was bad, but there was something inside of him, and we had to go find him. You know, he messed up. He wasn't hanging around. He was going to go hide somewhere, and I had to come find him, and I had to let him know that I was for him. Amen. And I had to give him the affirmation. He might have needed a spanking too. Hallelujah. But he got affirmation, and he got my love, and he got my embrace. Amen. So important to know that he's for us. Number four. Do I truly believe that I am forgiven and made new? And again, man, there's so many things that God could use to show us that he's for us. Amen. But these are just some questions that through my life and through my experience that I've gained a confidence to know that he's for me. Amen. So this is the last and final point. But what I want to tell a story, or not tell a story, I want to read it about a story and maybe tell the story of Peter, what we call Peter's denial. Are y'all familiar with that story? And I think, man, Peter, that guy, a powerhouse. But, you know, he kind of had, if you read through scripture, he had what I call foot and mouth disease. My mom has foot and mouth disease, you know, where she just puts her foot in her mouth. Anybody raised, you know, anybody going to testify? Maybe it's you, somebody you know, but man, there's a lot of times we'd like to have something back. We'd like to have that word back. And I think Peter, if he could, he probably would, maybe. But he gets a hard time because of the things that he said and the denial. But man, I was reading one time and I saw a new picture of redemption in this story. And I want to share it with you this morning that I believe is going to encourage you and inspire you and affirm you to know that the Father is for you. Amen. Are you getting that feeling this morning that he's for you? Are you encouraged this morning? Come on, let's continue. So I want to read quickly from Matthew 26, 33 through 35. And I want to call this Peter's denial or Peter's revelation of mercy. When y'all get there, if you have your Bible, somebody say amen. Amen. Matthew 26, 33 through 35. And it says, Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Is that how you feel about Jesus? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. No, Peter insisted, even if I have to die with you, even if I have to give my life, I'm never going to deny you. I'm never going to give you up, Jesus. And all the other disciples vowed the same. And I want to move down to Matthew 26, 69 through 75. And we'll jump right into the story and when it happened. Y'all stay with me this morning. We'll run through this. It says, meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard and they had just taken Jesus away. And you've got to imagine what's going on in his heart, what's going on in his mind, his friend, his Savior. The one he gave everything up for has been taken away. Sitting outside the courtyard, a servant girl came and said to him, you were one of those with Jesus, the Galilean. But Peter denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. I don't know this man, he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, you must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent. Peter swore a curse on me if I am lying. I don't know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. Can you imagine how that felt in that moment? To deny the one who came to die for you. Suddenly, Jesus' words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. And he went away weeping bitterly. What an incredible story. And piece of scripture. But I want to look this morning through another lens. Are y'all following me still this morning? I want you to imagine with me Jesus calling Peter. And Peter giving his all to Jesus. And coming to a place where he's being discipled by the very Son of the living God. Amen? And I want you to imagine with me that Jesus is sitting around and he's teaching them and he's sharing scripture with them and he's encouraging them. You know what they had at that point is they had the Old Testament, right? And that's what they read. And that's what Jesus would quote from, the Old Testament, the prophecies of Jesus to come, the Savior to come, amen? How many times do you think Jesus pulled out and that the word and begin to teach and begin to read it to Peter? And maybe even Peter read it. I have to believe that Jesus loved to read them with his disciples and read them several times, specifically even Peter and the 3-year relationship that they had. And I want you to turn with me to Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 this morning. Somebody say, he's for me. He's for me. He affirms me. I'm going to read it first out of the New King James Version. And then after, I'm going to read it through the New Living Translation just to give you a little bit of a different look on it. It says, reading first the New King James, it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because of his compassions, because his compassions fail not. They are new, when? Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now, I'm going to read real quickly Lamentations 3:22, again in 23 in the New Living Translation. And it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy begins afresh every morning. How many claim that promise all the time in your life? Amen. God, I thank you. It's a new day. I thank you. It's a new week, and I'm starting off new. It's fresh. Your mercies are new. Amen. His grace is sufficient for each day, and his mercies are new. The Bible tells us that he takes our sin as far as the east is from the west. I don't know where east and west is, but I'm pointing this morning. And he takes it and he throws it, the Bible says, into the sea of forgetfulness. And he remembers it no more for us. Amen? Come on, somebody. His mercy is new every morning. Could it be that Jesus was setting Peter up? Now, we don't read this in the Word. We don't see this. But could it be that Jesus set Peter up for his approval of hope and grace and not his denial? Could it be that Jesus, at Peter in his darkest hour, heard mercy because it was a new morning? Amen? Because it was a new morning. And he was weeping bitterly, the Bible says. Amen? Because he remembered what Jesus said. And Jesus set him up and said, my mercy is new, Peter. My mercy is new. Isn't he so good? He heard the sound of mercy. Man, I tell you, when you hear a rooster crow, I don't know if that happens a lot out here. I got some next door at my house. And they don't know what morning is, by the way. But when they crow, when you hear that happen, his mercy's new, amen? Let it be a reminder. Even after Jesus' resurrection, he was still affirming and confirming Peter. Turn with me to Mark 16, verse 7. Test. Lost it for a second there. After they saw Jesus, they said, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there just as he told you before he died. Jesus said, hey, make sure you tell Peter that I'm coming for him. Amen. Amen. Come on. Man, does that stir your heart? Do you know that when you're in sin, he's when you mess up, he's for you. Amen. When you're on the mountaintop and you're resisting temptation and you're standing strong, he's for you. When you're weak, he's for you. When you're strong, he's for you. When you're doubtful and you're dealing with issues, he's for you. When you're faith-filled and you're faithful and you're doing everything right and you have a right to lift your hands on Sunday in your own mind, he's for you. When you lift your hands purely, let me tell you what, even on that day when you're perfect, the Bible says your righteousness is what? It's filthy rags. Even on my best day, I need his pure mercy. Even on my greatest day, when I treated my wife like a queen, when I didn't raise my voice at my kids, amen? When I didn't mess up in any way, I still need his mercy. And that's why, you know what's incredible about Jesus and his mercy is his righteousness. You know what God's righteousness does? It does this. There's no variance in his righteousness. Do you know what my righteousness is? My righteousness is his righteousness. And there's no variance in it. So I can come in here and I can worship. Amen. I can come in here and I can worship him. Because he's faithful. When I'm on the mountaintop, he's for me. When I'm in the valley, he's for me. When I feel far away and I feel like I can't feel his presence, he's for me. When he's close as my skin, he's for me. Amen. You see, when my kids mess up, I don't stop being father. I don't stop being daddy. Amen. Come on, be encouraged this morning. You are affirmed in him. We don't need the affirmation of this world. Romans 8:28, if you turn with me, we're going to bring this thing in for a close in just a little bit. God, we thank you for your presence. God, I thank you for touching hearts right now. God, I thank you for reminding people right now of your faithfulness, of your goodness. I thank you that you're wrapping your arms around us right now. God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Romans 8:28, a very familiar verse. And it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, there's people here from different walks and different places, and you had different experiences with father, dad in the house. Maybe none at all. Maybe no example, or maybe a very poor example. of what a father would be. You know, I believe God wants to heal your heart this morning. I believe that God wants to set you free this morning. I believe the Father wants to affirm you this morning. He wants to encourage you this morning. Amen. His grace is available this morning to us. And I want to point out in that verse, it says he's working things out according to his purpose. You know, a lot of people quote this scripture and they don't really understand sometimes the end of that. That it's for his purpose. It's not for my purpose. So a lot of times when we're walking through things and we're walking through difficult times, we don't understand that what the fire is molding inside of us. We don't understand what's happening on the inside of us. We don't understand what the situation, what's going to happen at the end of it, what this storm is going to bring. But we have a confidence that he's going to use it for his purpose. Amen. Are you living in his purpose this morning? Let me tell you, there's nothing better than living in his purpose. There is nothing better than living in his purpose. Does that mean you got to be a preacher? Does that mean you got to go into full time? No, living in his purpose just means saying yes to Jesus. Amen. Living in his purpose might mean dumping the trash down the hallway. Living in his purpose might mean vacuuming this room. Living in his purpose might be bringing a pie to someone in the church. Amen? But we live in his purpose. The stories we talked about this morning, you know, David forgot about his purpose. David moved outside of his purpose. And in that, he forgot who he was. And for a little while, he forgot who God was. When we move outside of God's purpose, things happen. Peter forgot about God's purpose. He forgot. Jesus told him. There were prophecies that came before him, and Jesus told him. He already told him what was going to happen. But he started thinking about his purpose. He started protecting himself. But when we're living for his purpose, amen, there's strength, there's grace. We all want things to work out for the good of our purpose, but it's for his purpose. He's going to be faithful to fulfill his purpose. Amen. Amen. If you're willing this morning, if you could just to focus your attention on him, just close your eyes with me this morning if you're willing to do that. And there's nothing super spiritual about that. That just means I'm just taking away the distractions. And I'm going to focus my heart, my attention, my everything inside of me. And I'm going to just focus on him right now. I want to ask you this morning if this word just hit something inside of your heart. And I want to give you, we talked about the response. Amen. We talked about a response. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this message, to this word. Amen. I'm not going to ask you to come up. Nobody's going to be embarrassed in here this morning. This is about Jesus being the hero in your life. Amen. You're going to have plenty of opportunity to stand for Jesus. But I just want to ask you this morning, if you need encouragement right now, if you need to know, if you need new confidence, if you need new inspiration, if you need a new fire kindled up inside of you, and there's a way to do that, it's through his word, and it's through prayer, and it's through getting around like-minded people. Absolutely, but this morning, I believe something's going to happen in our hearts. I believe there's going to be something that happens that some in this room today are never going to be the same. That your perspective of a father is going to shift. Your perspective of who God is, that he's not up there with a big bat waiting to take it to you. But he's up there with open arms. So if that's you this morning, and I'm just going to pray for you this morning quickly, and we're going to turn things back over to Brother Larry. If that's you this morning, with no one looking around, can you just raise your hand this morning? Is there anyone in the place? You just need to be encouraged. Amen. 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 God sees you. God sees you. We see you this morning. Anybody else? Amen. We see you this morning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. See you this morning. See you this morning. God, we thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in here. God, we thank you. Are y'all ready to pray this morning? We're going to pray together real quick, and then I'm going to pray for you, if that's okay. Amen. Say, Jesus, I thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you for loving me so much, for giving me so much that I could respond now to love you, to serve you, to honor you, to give you my life. I want your purpose, not my purpose. I give you my life. I trust you. God, let me find my identity in you and in your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Give God praise this morning. Isn't he so good? Amen. I just want to pray for you before you go. And Brother Larry's going to come up with further instructions. God, I thank you for your people gathered here. And I thank you, God, that you would just ignite a fire on the inside of us, that no matter what comes, no matter what storm comes, no matter how we fall, no matter how we fail, that we would understand and know in great confidence, and great confidence to know who you are, that in through knowing how much you love us, how much you're for us, that we would respond to this and we would love you. We would become more like you, that everything we do, that everything that we say, that the way that we live and the way that we worship and the way that we serve would simply be a response of your goodness. In Jesus' name, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you, Pastor.